Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the coolest show on internet radio, Scarycast. This is our annual Christmas special. If we can ever get the technology to work in our favor. But we will, and I know everything is great. So everybody's here. Robin has a hall pass because she has been taking care of an under-the-weather husband. But anyway, I'm here in beautiful, beautiful cold Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, who just joined us, Papa Stro, the maestro of wrestling. How are you doing, Papa Stro?
Great. Great to be here. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Kwanzaa and all that, all the holiday cheer.
Right. Hanukkah, everything.
If I missed any, please forgive me.
Okay. Well, I don't think you did. Well, we're glad to have you here. We have got from Ravenel, South Carolina, where nobody knows it's in Greater Charleston, the one and the only Amazing Velvet. How are you tonight, Amazing Velvet?
I'm doing great. I am ready for this. This is going to be awesome. Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy holidays. Let's get it on.
Let's get it on.
Hey, Velvet.
For sure.
Hey, brother, you're amazing.
Thank you.
You're amazing.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
He's amazing,
Tate,
by the way.
Our man in Hollywood, How are you doing tonight, Devin?
I'm great. I'm just getting in the holiday spirit. I made some gingerbread last night, so I think I'm in the holiday spirit now.
Oh, man. I would so have gingerbread with you, Devin. That's where I was. That's awesome.
Exactly. I'm jealous.
I want some. You shouldn't have told us that, Devin. Now we're gonna want you to send us all a piece. I bet it's good.
Right over there.
Well, so we did have Tony Filosi on, but he might have had a tech problem. So when he comes back in, I will alert the media.
I'm here.
Tony, you're here?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I don't see you, but I'm glad you're here. Anyway, we're glad to have you here. From the murder capital of the world. I mean, what more can you say? All right. And now tonight, our special guest on our Christmas show, we've got two special things going on. First of all, we've got a brand new world premiere on Scarycast of Devin Tate's new Christmas song. And then our guest tonight is the one, the only, Billy the Kid. Really and truly, we've got Billy the Kid on the show. And I'll explain everything. Only Velvet has helped me introduce him before, so he knows this secret. But Billy the Kid, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing fine, man. I'm here with two of my good friends, treasure hunting buddies. We're in St. Augustine, Florida, at the world-famous Scarlett O'Hara's. And we had some drinks, and we ate and had some more drinks, and there's been some killings upstairs. Some people died upstairs in the place, and we went up there and checked it all out, and it's just a real spooky. But if you're ever in St. Augustine, head to Scarlett O'Hara's. It's an old building, and it's great food, and you'll have fun there. It's really a fun place, really fun.
Well, that's great. Thanks
a lot.
Thanks
go.
For that travel tip.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, we're staying at the Pirate House. And...
Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
Now,
yeah.
we've got three things to do to get this show started. Number one, we're going to play Devin's new song, and Devin's going to tell us a little bit about it before I play it. Number two, Papa Stro was going to grant Tony Filosi a wish tonight. Tony, can you remind everybody what that wish is?
Yes. He's going to channel Dusty Rhodes and be Papa Claus.
Yeah. Dusty Rhodes in the house. Yes.
So that'll be the second thing. And then the third thing we're going to do for the majority of the time is to interview the one, the only, Billy the Kid, one of the most interesting people. He was introduced to me by one of our Scarycast regular guests, John LeMay. over there in Roswell, New Mexico. What a creepy place to be from. But anyway, so Devin, tell us about your Christmas song, and then we're gonna listen to all 3 minutes and 11 seconds of it.
Sure. Well, I actually wrote this song last year. I had been asked to play at a Christmas party at a winery that I've been playing at quite frequently last year. So I wanted to come up with something that really, you know, represented me, but still have that traditional, you know, holiday Christmas song vibe. So I think hopefully that's what you'll hear, is kind of just my take on a classic Christmas song.
Cool.
Okay, well, that's great. Well, now Devin, I got to be careful because I almost started playing Devin Tate and Wendy Ho from last year.
Okay.
But no, here it is. And Devin, what is the title of it?
The title is Make the Yuletide Gay.
All right, we'll make the Yuletide Gay right now. Here is Devin
Absolutely.
Tate.
Absolutely.
I don't subscribe to religion, and I don't have any kids. I don't see snow in December as in the days of my childhood I did. And I don't want any presents, so I shouldn't need a tree. But I'll put one up anyway and deck the halls with holly. I'll bake some gingerbread men and then I'll eat them.
I will play that one more time so everybody can get a good listen to it. And then where can they go buy it if they like it? Where can they buy it?
Sure. It's on Amazon and Apple Music, and it's on all the streaming services, and you can buy it from Bandcamp, too. So basically anywhere you would normally, you know, buy a song online, you can get it there.
And
Velvet's
new
favorite Christmas song.
That's exactly right.
Love it.
And Devin, all they have to do is search for Devin, T-A-I-T, and make the Yuletide. The song that looks like a Christmas song, right?
Exactly.
And Tate is spelled T-A-I-T, so that everybody knows, not the way we spell it down south, but the way they spell it in Kansas. Right, right, Devin?
Who knows
exactly
the way they spell it down south? Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Okay.
Right.
Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Part one of our great three-part show. Now, Papa Stro,
all right.
Will you please grant Tony his wish from Stro Claus?
Dusty Claus.
Well, it's not Stro Claus. It's Dusty Claus. Let's get it right.
Dusty
Claus.
Claus, baby.
Okay.
Dusty Claus. As a matter of fact, it's a rare treat for you tonight. Dusty Claus is going to recite The Night Before Christmas. So here it goes.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Is this for you? It's for you, Tony.
Thank you, Bob Stro.
Anytime. Anytime, brother.
I've waited a week.
Told
people.
And all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a little bitty mouth. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, and hope that St. Nicholas and his fat booty will soon be there. The children were never all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums and cheesecake dancing in their heads, baby. And Big Mama and her kerchief and I and my cap had just settled our brainies for a long winter's nap, if you will, when out of the lawn there arose such a clatter and plunder. Away from the window, I flew with my bonnet galbo to see what was the matter. Threw up the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon and the breath of a new fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects and more plunder below. When in my wondering eyes stood a pier, my miniature sleigh, and 8 tiny reindeer, if you will, with a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be. No, not Dory Funk. It's St. Nick. More rapid than Eagles, of course, of St. King. He whistled and shouted, woo, like Nature Boy, calling them by name. Now, Dessa, now, Dessa now, Prancer and Vixen, O'Comet, Cupid, O'Donna, Blitzen, on the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now, Dessa away, Dessa away. Death away all in public, baby. At dry leaves before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with the obstacle mount to the sky. So up the house, top the cursor, they flew, baby, like Jimmy Superfly Slicker. With the sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas, too. Then in the twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew my head and was turning around like living the edge of the lightning bolt, baby. Down the chimney, St. Nicholas and his fat booty came with a bound. He was dressed on all fours like Bruce Brody, baby, from his head to his foot. And his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bunch of toys were slung on his back like Tully Blanchard going quackity quack quack to the dream, baby. And he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled. His dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses. His nose like a cherry. His million-dollar smile just like the American dream. His drool little mouth was drawn up like a bow. And the beard of his chin was as white as snow. The stung of a pipe he held tight in his teeth. And the smoke enriched his head with a wee. He had a broad face, a little round belly, like a dream, baby. And then shook when he laughed and got funky like a monkey, like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old soul with a big honey. And I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. a wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know that I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, taking care of business, baby Will, and filled all the stockings that turned like with a jerk. And laying his fingers aside of his nose and giving a nod up in the chimney he rose. He sprung to his sleigh and to his dream came a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle, baby. Down like knocking down the four horsemen, if you will. Cracking a crack. But I heard him exclaim as he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, public reveal, and to all a good night from the dream, baby."
Woo! That was good. That was good. That was good. That was awesome. Now, Devin, first of all, Papa Stro, that is a Grammy Award-winning performance of that. Number two, Devin, I'll make sure that you have the file, and can you edit it so we have just Papa Stro doing this? This is going to become a Christmas classic.
Tradition.
Yeah, that's
baby.
Great.
Okay, so Devin, that'll be our project for release in 2021, The Night Before Christmas by Papa Stro. Oh, Papa Stro, I hate to bring something up, but I'll do it. Do you remember 4 years ago, 5 years ago, you narrated The Night Before Comic-Con Christmas?
Yeah, I sure do.
I've got those files. Devin will help me on that, I'm sure. We will have an album of Papa Stro doing Christmas. This will be great. So, Papa Stro, we'll talk about distribution rights after the show, okay?
Fantastic. Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Well, that was wonderful. Now, we're done with part two of our entertainment. Now comes part three. From the wild, wild west, and from Florida, and lots of parts in between, the one, the only, Billy the Kid. Let's give him a round of applause from ScaryCast, and then I'm going to explain who in the heck this guy is. He's really, historically, an important dude. So let's give him a round of applause.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, John, for having me on the show.
All right.
Means so many interesting people.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is the crowd on the internet, and sorry Robin's busy with taking care of her husband Pat. Otherwise we'd have the Queen of ScaryCast. She'd be here too. But anyway, here's what happened. So John LeMay has become a very good friend of mine. He's a famous author of paranormal books, movies that have not been made. He is just really cool. And he's from Roswell, New Mexico. And that's how I found him on the internet. And I mean, I found him on Facebook, and he's become really, really a valuable contributor and just such a good guy. And he said, "John, you need to meet Billy the Kid." I said, "Well, he's dead." He said, "No, he's not. I'm going to give you a number." So he said, "I'm going to give you a number." And then, this is weird. Okay, let me finish this intro, Amazing Velvet, and then I'll try to figure out how to get you back in the show. Anyway, so he said, "Call him up, and let me have till in the morning to get a hold of him and tell him who you are." And he's become one of the most interesting people I have ever met. When he was 20 years old, he just took off from Florida, took off on a little vacation, wandered into Lincoln, New Mexico, which was one of Billy the Kid's favorite haunts, and stopped everyone dead in their tracks because it turns out he looks identical to the real Billy the Kid, because the real Billy the Kid only lived until approximately 21 years old. He became an immediate and overnight sensation all over the world. Smithsonian Magazine, NPR, couldn't get enough of Billy the Kid. So he ended up staying out there in New Mexico, became part of the team, so to speak. He was in and of himself a tourist attraction in and of himself. And he had some ups and downs out there.
and he wrote a book, which, by the way, Billy, I just got tonight in the mail.
Oh, really?
I hope you like it.
Thank you.
Well, I haven't had a chance to even open it yet, but I got it. I kept checking every day, and so he sent me a copy of his book, and it's a great book. It's available on Amazon. All you have to do is look up Billy the Kid, and it will show up by William H. Cox II. So he's an entertaining fellow, and because he's on Scarycast tonight, we decided we would put him on the Christmas special, for number one, because he's interesting. Number two, we put him on the Christmas special because he was going to be in St. Augustine, Florida, which is certifiably the most haunted place in the New World. So he's there, and Billy, I know you gave us that little plug about Scarlett O'Hara's. Tell us, first of all, before we get into your life, tell us a little bit more about St. Augustine and how haunted it is. And I'll try to pull it back from out in the whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the oldest city in the nation, and a lot of people died here, and of course, it was Spain, and you had all these other countries from Europe trying to, come over here and take it away from them. So there's been a lot of battles. But when you come over here, it's like going to Spain. It's got the skinny little cobblestone streets, and people from all over the world come here, and there's ghost tours, and it's very, where we stay at Scarlett O'Hara's is a very old building, and there's been some deaths. People died in that place as well. But it's a restaurant and bar, and it's just you want to go back in time. St. Augustine's where you want to come, and we're staying at the Pirate House, which is an old building from the 1600s, and it used to be a youth hostel, and now they made it to a bed and breakfast. But you can go there and stay in an old room, they got a little lounge, with couches and a library, library in there, and the computer, and everybody eats breakfast in the morning in the kitchen. You can bring your own food and cook it up, but it's the Pirate House. It's spelled H-A-U-S. And, just very spooky. But, yeah, like I say, it's going back to the 1500s.
Or as you told me a little earlier today, you said, it's like Charleston, but it's just older. And I know that grates on their nerves in Charleston. Oh, they hate that.
Like Charleston. It just goes farther back, but you still had the same, Charleston's, I'm sure it was around the 1600s, but, 1700s and, 1800s. But this, goes way back. And just blocks and blocks of cobblestone streets. Pirates walking around. You got the fort, which is, it looks like a university. It's so huge, but it's right on the water, and there's people treasure hunting, and that's what we were doing up here, to treasure hunt, because we're looking for gold and silver, me and my two buddies.
That sounds like a blast. All right, I'm going to pose the first question, and tell us a little bit about yourself. How in the heck did you even decide to go to New Mexico, which is the home of Billy the Kid? So answer these three questions. How in the heck did you decide to do it? What happened when you went over there? And tell us about one of your favorite stories. And I'm just going to go around the room with our impeccable co-hosts and let them just ask you some questions about your life and times, because I know it's been a great one. It really has. So, How did you pick New Mexico, and what happened when you got there?
Well, a good friend of mine, a longtime friend of mine named Matt, came to me and goes, "You got to go see the movie Young Guns, Billy." And I said, "Okay, yeah, I'll go check it out." This is back in 1988. And when I watched the movie, the land just gave me chills. I mean, it was just like it was a strange connect. It felt connected in a strange way, but I said, "Well, I gotta go check all this out," and I couldn't believe this really happened. And I looked all the towns up on a map, and they're all right. The same towns on the map are all the ones they mentioned in the movie. And I figured they're all modern towns and stuff. And so Anyway, I had 2 weeks vacation coming up, so I bought me a Greyhound bus pass, and I went out west. And I ended up in the town of Roswell. And after I got off the bus, I looked in both directions like I didn't know which way to go. So I just took the direction and headed that way. And I saw a big museum there. And I walked in there just to get some history. And there's pictures on the wall. And I'm just looking at the pictures on the wall. And I'm like, wow, this is cool. But then people started looking at me behind the, you know, where the historians were and the people that worked there that took your money and stuff like that. Just kept staring at me and whispering amongst each other and pointing at me. And I'm thinking, well, I got money. I'm legit. You know, I mean, I don't know why they're looking at me. But anyway, the one fellow named Kenneth Hobbs, he was an older fellow. He came to me and he just says, my God, you look just like the kid. He goes, no, I mean, you really look just like the kid. I'm like, and I didn't know what he was talking about. I thought he was just influenced by my youth. But he took me to a window and he pointed to Capitan Mountain. In that direction, he says, you know, we got to get you up there. That's where it all started, in the old village of old Lincoln, New Mexico. It's a one-street town. And he goes, and I said, well, I'd like to get up there. I mean, I know about it. Is there any way I can get there? So he tried to make some contacts. It's so remote up there that he really couldn't make no contacts. So he came to me and says, look, you meet my wife and kids. We're going camping. You come up there, we'll take you to Lincoln. So they came to pick me up in front of the hotel. I threw my stuff in the back of the truck there, and they took me to Lincoln. And, well, first we stayed at their place for a while, and then until we was ready to head up there. We went to Lincoln. We pulled in Lincoln right in front of John Tunsil's store. And I got out. And it would have died right there, but it didn't really connect until I stepped into the two-story courthouse where the kid made his escape in 1880, I believe. And that's where I met Jack Rigney, the chief ranger for the state of New Mexico, a very important guy. And he was an ex-Vietnam vet on top of that, you know. So, I mean, he is a cool cat, you know. And he about fell out of his chair. And he goes, my God, he goes, don't go nowhere. I got to get your picture, dude. This is unbelievable. He goes, I mean, what's your name? And I go, Billy. And he about freaked out even more. And so before I could even get through the building, he's snapping pictures of me. He goes, dude, we got to stay in touch, man. This is too strange. So anyway, he took the pictures, and I ended up spending the rest of my time with the family, and I didn't know quite what to make of everything, you know, because it didn't really hit me. And until I came back to Florida, and I'm showing everybody the pictures, and everybody's saying, my God, Billy, your bone structure, your face, your hair, everything is identical. You know, and I'm like, wow. And I started thinking to myself, what's going on here, and what am I supposed to do? And it was definitely spiritual. So anyway, the state contacted me, and Jack, of course, representing the state, said, look, we'd like to have you back out here, man. You can stay here and just let Mother Nature take its course. And I said, sounds good. And so I headed out there, and it was 89 or 90. I set my backpack on his front porch. And I went to go hanging out on old Lincoln Street and started just meeting people and getting introduced to people and everybody coming in. And then the TV crews came up there for CBS and NBC, and even Smithsonian showed up, and different groups out of all over New Mexico that were promoting the history of New Mexico, which, of course, you know, promoted me and stuff. So did I answer all your questions?
No, you gave us a whole lot more. First of all, how long did you stay out there? And you told me something, kind of a strange story about a deputy. And
you were kind of getting
in a little bit of trouble, kind of like Billy the Kid was.
Well, like I said, I went out there to have fun and make this a whole positive experience. You know, of course, there's no war going on, no Lincoln County war and stuff. And it was all a positive experience for me. So anyway, I was, you know, making money from tourists. I was making, you know, quite a bit of, you know, money. And also me and Jack Rigney did a skit in the courthouse where he tells the escapability kid, and then I'd come at the end of it and hit that pose, and people would just freak out. And everything was good. And then till about the end of tourist season started coming to an end, I started meeting people while I was working, you know, whether it was farming or helping out, you know, fixing a a windmill or just helping repair a fence, you know, because I was all about the adventure. Anyway, a fellow named Bob, who was well, the courthouse is on the western side of Lincoln, and a fellow named Bob who worked for the historical, or I guess it was a trust, at the eastern end of Lincoln. He approached me one day and offered me a job, a volunteer job. He says, "Billy, I'd like to offer you a volunteer job if you're interested." And I go, "Well, I'm fine with Jack." And he told me, you know, kind of boldly, like, "Well, don't take too long to think about it, okay?" I'm like, "Whoa, I what was that all about?" So I just kind of just ignored it and just went back with Jack because, you know, state, you know, that's federal, and I was protected. And then after a while, I see him at the post office. I was checking my mail. He every once in a while, he goes, "You still thinking about that job, Billy?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm still thinking about it," but I was ignoring it. And I guess one day I was at the far east of town at the Ellis store with Blake and Patrick and the boys. I guess a deputy drove through there, and one of the boys goes, "Hey Blake, one of the deputies just drove through your property." And one guy goes, "Oh, he's probably here for Billy, just joking around." But anyway, I walked outside to the middle of the dirt road, and he turned around and started facing the building, just stopped, and he pointed to me to come here. So I was like, "Oh Lord, what's this all about?" So I get in the Bronco because he's the only lawman in that area because it's so remote, and you know, to cover a certain area. And he goes, "Hey Billy, how you doing?" I'm doing just fine. And to make a long story short, he says, "Heard you got offered a job." And I told him, "Well, I'm fine. You know, I'm fine with Jack in the state. I mean, everything's going good." He goes, "Oh, really? Okay, that's good. That's good. Well, I just want to tell you that some cattle are being shot and they're missing in Salazar Canyon and Baca Canyon. And quite frankly, Billy, some of the ranchers think you're doing it." And I just fell out right there. I mean, I was like, "Holy cow." And he goes, "You want to tell me more about this job, Billy?" And I said, you know, it just kept going on and on. And I went to my friends and they told me to ignore it, that they can't run me out of town. And before I knew it, I was being accused of sleeping in the Wharton Hotel in room number 5, a room that Billy the Kid once occupied. It just kept going on and on, but I kept moving around. I did leave, but I didn't leave to go back east. I left to go back to Roswell, and I stayed there for a week, and then I popped back in Lincoln for a week. I'd go back to Roswell or back to Carrizozo or El Capitan, or I'd go stay in Wido. So I kept moving. So they really couldn't, guess my moves. And there's so much more to it, but, you know, I'm just eventually got really bad, and there was other things happening, and he was, you know, he even stopped at Blake's and told him, he goes, "Is Billy here? Because this is happening, and I'm going to get him. I'm going to take him to jail." And they got nervous, and I said, "Man, what kind of extent are they going to go to make me leave?" And so I was staying in the old mill house, and a bad storm was coming in. I was the only one there, and the windows were banging against each other, and it sounded like someone cut up the stairs. I mean, this building was about to fall down. I mean, it was old. And it was behind the Ellis store. It was known as the Mill House. And I got with a buddy, and I said, "Man, you going to Fort Sumner tomorrow?" And he goes, "Yeah, I'm going." I said, "I need to catch a ride with you." And that's when I headed up to old Fort Sumner, New Mexico, for good. Not looking back, you know. So it's just,
all right,
and
now,
it hit the papers out there.
Billy, real quick, tell everybody the significance of Fort Sumner.
Yeah, the old Fort Sumner is a small little town. It's the only town in the county. And but that's where, after the Lincoln County War with Billy, you know, he heads up there to kind of try to make peace and work and go back to work and make money. And that's where they were rustling cattle. But eventually, Pat Garrett, one of his friends, was elected sheriff, and first order of business was to bring in the kid. And I guess he was captured in Fort Stinking Springs near Fort Sumner, went to trial, was sentenced to hang back in Lincoln for killing Bell and Olinger, the two deputies that were watching him. And instead of leaving the country or going to Old Mexico, he goes right back up to Fort Sumner. because he had a lot of friends up there. And that's where eventually Garrett had the pressure put on him to do something about the problem, you know, dealing with the kid. And I guess Pat Garrett snuck in there at nighttime, went to Pete Maxwell's home, where Pete Maxwell was sleeping in his room, and Pat Garrett just sat right there next to his bed, just hoping to get lucky. And he got lucky when William Bonney walked in that room on July 14th, 1881, and Billy put it into William Bonney's life. And he was killed on July 14th, 1881, in Fort Sumner, New Mexico.
All right, now, Billy, I'm going to have to stop you right there, because since I'm the king of the conspiracy theorists, I don't think that Pat Garrett shot Billy the Kid. I think he shot somebody else, number one. And number two, I think Billy the Kid skedaddled down to Mexico for about 15 years and then came back occasionally and all that. I like the more romantic conspiracy theory because I want to keep Billy the Kid alive long as possible. How's that?
Right. Yeah, that sounds good. I made it to 54 years old, so I guess I'm doing good.
Yeah, no, I just think Billy the Kid was great. He was an icon. He is statement of the Wild Wild West. And we're going to be participating in some activities, you and I are. We're going to be getting you back out there to talk about Billy the Kid and to talk about your story of because you are the modern Billy the Kid. And so I'd like to open the floor up to our panel, and I want to start with the amazing Velvet, because Velvet, you were on Pop Culture Stars when we had Billy the Kid about a week and a half ago. And do you have a question you'd like to ask him for our ScaryCast audience?
I do. Since you were on the last time, Billy, and we talked about, you know, a couple of conspiracy theories and a couple of other things. Has anything changed with you and your belief of what happened to Billy the Kid? Has anything changed since our last show with you on?
Oh, you talking about whether he died or not?
Yeah, feeling of, you know, yeah, did he die then? Did he get away? You know, because I had that feeling that he, you know, wasn't killed at 21. I think he lived a little longer. May or may not, but I, you know, when you left the show, you were straightforward. He died. Pat Garrett got him, and that was pretty much the end of that. So you still stay with that.
Well, I mean, I had the belief that, you know, that he was gunned down by Pat Garrett, but you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, a lot of controversies, right. You know, like Pat Garrett not collecting the $500 reward or the
reward
money. There was some. I mean, there's some things that, you know, Pat Garrett did some strange things, so you never know what really happened, and I'm always open to any evidence that comes forward that people might have. I mean, I feel that, you know, after killing two deputies, you know, that, you know, it's a death sentence, but you never know. You know, Garrett could have let him go. Again, they could have had a lot, you know, just knows it was a bad situation that Billy was involved in, and he could have just let him go. I mean, it's just, you just don't know what happened, but it's just, I don't know. I still have my beliefs, but, you know, that's what makes everything interesting out there. Is people have theories, and it's interesting, you know.
Good. All right. Awesome.
Well, we're out there with one of the greatest personalities in all of America. Really, really true. So, Velvet, thank you. Are you there? Okay, good. All right, now I'm going to go up to Papa Stro. No, I'm going to go to Tony next. Tony, do you have a deadline you have to leave us tonight?
No.
Okay, good. Okay, well, good. Then I'm going to go to Papa Stro next, and then you. Papa Stro, you got anything you'd like to ask Billy the Kid about himself,
I sure do.
About the historical figure,
sure,
or whatever?
I sure do. Okay.
Great.
Well, I was going to ask Billy there, if Billy the Kid, was how do you think he would react or adapt if he was alive today, in today's society?
Oh, you mean how Billy would be in these days and times?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Oh, that's a great a great question.
Well, you know, like I say, you know, I think he would just, you know, of course, have to learn to adapt to the world that he's in. I mean, it's definitely a better world now than it was then. I mean, you got just as much killing going on nowadays as you did back then. I mean, it's still the same political corruption going on than you had back then. But it's just, you never know. He might try to be a better person possibly and try to do things the right way. And because, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just because you're living in better times. He's living in better times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, living in better times. Jobs are out there. It's not like, you know, back then it's like, you know, you're in a small little village. You stayed in that small little village. And once you left that, you're on open land. And you had to worry about killing a rabbit or a deer or something to eat. Well, here, you know, you got benefits, government benefits. You got, you know, so I'm sure he would have loved it better now to the better world, you know. But, you know, there's still, you can still be born into a bad environment, bad family structure. There's still some hard times that are going on. Of course, y'all know all the stuff that goes on in this world today and wars and rumors of wars. But, you know, the whole thing is just, you know, having fun and keeping your friends close by as much as you can. And, you know, I think he would like it, you know, I think he'd dig it. Did I answer your question? I hope I did.
Oh, yeah. It puts a whole new perspective on things, especially I really thought Billy the Kid, you know, reading up on him and everything, it was just, you know, he had that sense of humor, too, really. And, I mean, he just seemed like a likable guy, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, he was. He was, you know. But, and like I say, he didn't just go up to people and shoot them. You know, he was actually the law. You know, he had a badge. Him and all the boys. And so he, you know, he was a deputy, you know. And so they had warrants to serve. It's the vigilantes. That's all it was, vigilantes. He wasn't a cold-blooded killer and walk up to someone like John Wesley Hart and shoot someone for just snoring. There was a purpose behind it. And then, of course, you had to – the Santa Fe Ring, which, you know, the governor was involved in it. It was all over, you know, what all wars were about, money. And but back then, if you all you had to worry about was eating back then. You didn't have to necessarily worry about having to pay rent and all that stuff because, I mean, it was still a broken down system. It was just getting started back then, you know. So, you know, you just took what you want. You took what you want. You're hungry, go kill it. That's what they were doing. They were taking a little bit off. They were probably taking from Chisholm, taking a cow or two, and just cutting them up, and you know, and selling the meat to all his Spanish friends, all their Spanish friends along the Pecos River, like Puerto de Luna, you know, Anton Chico.
Yeah.
And get them a good deal on beef. That's it.
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, he seemed to look out. I mean, he was one that would look out for his friends and do what he thought was right.
Right, but the way they shot John Henry Tunsil wasn't right, you know, and it was connected to the sheriff. And L.G. Murphy, you know, they shot him in the head and they shot the horse in the head. They just dragged his body on top of the horse and they left it for the animals to eat. So back then, you had that freedom. I'll see you later. I was just saying bye to one of my friends. Sorry about that. And it was a cruel, harsh world. You know, where it was just harsh. It was just like, man, you know, they'd take baths for days. I mean, it was just, you know, it's just, but you had a sense of freedom that you kind of really don't have these days. I mean, you do have it, but, you know, back then you had to worry about nothing. I mean, you were free.
Right.
All right. That's a great answer. That is a super question, Papa Stroh. Okay. So next is Tony and then me. So, Tony, what have you got to ask Billy the Kid, who is, by the way, William H. Cox II from Florida, from Tampa, Florida, and just, again, one of the best people I've ever met from a referral on the Internet in my life. Just he's about like a little brother to me. So, anyway, Tony, what do you got to ask this superstar of the Western world?
Whenever he first walked down the street in Lincoln, what did you think when you first saw the when you first rolled into town and you looked at it? What did you think?
Oh, when I first came into the village of Lincoln, what did I feel about it?
Yes. Yeah. What were your first thoughts?
I just felt like I just felt like it's still here. Like you still have a town that's just left untouched like this. But there, when you see that land, I just felt strange with when I saw that land, and it was just it was a. I don't have that feeling anymore. But at that time, it just I just felt it's just hard to explain. It just felt like I was connected.
Did you feel like
in a strange.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Did you feel like you were connected in any ways?
Yeah, I felt connected. I felt connected in a strange way. It's just hard to explain. It's just like it was just like I blended in, right? I blended right in, and then with all the people coming forth, it's just like when I go out there to visit, it's like going back. It's like going to Florida, and when I come to Florida, you know, this is my home. I start missing New Mexico, but so, you know, but I don't feel that way anywhere else. I've been all over the country. It's just, but you know, Lincoln was a different place. Even when I was there, it was a very lively town, dances all up and down the street, parties. You know, I was free for basically almost 2 years. I had no worries, and I roamed and I worked and, you know, I enjoyed the tension, of course, you know, and they even came. They were doing documentaries in Lincoln, and they'd come across the street and tell me, hey, are you want to be an actor? Or is this something personal? I said it's personal. So I wasn't interested in anything they had to say. You know, I was enjoying my time in New Mexico, and that's where I just felt at peace.
Now, was Tunstall's store was there in Lincoln too, right?
Excuse me.
Tunstall, John Henry Tunstall's, his store was in Lincoln.
Yeah, his store was in Lincoln. His store was and he built his town like kind of in the middle of in town. It's a huge store, and he's buried around back.
What did you know when you were around Tunstall's, Henry Tunstall's store? Did you get any? Because I think Tunstall and the kid were kind of close, weren't they? Didn't work for Tunstall. What were your feelings when you were around Tunstall's store and where he was very close by?
Yeah, whenever I went into Tunstall's store, it was a weird feeling. It was a strange feeling that you feel inside. I do know when I went to dances at night, I was there. During the early hours, I'd be at a dance, but at nighttime, I'd go home and leave late at night, and it was right next to Tunstall's store, and I'd walk in front of Tunstall's store, and it spooked me, and I'd go across the street and walk the other way and just keep walking. And it's just, you know, a weird feeling, but it's just there's definitely spirits there in Lincoln. If you're into that, you go to Lincoln, you're gonna feel it. Just walking on the river at nighttime because there's hardly any lights in the town, and not just Lincoln outside of Lincoln, but I had some weird feelings around Tunstall's store. It's just hard to explain. It's like I can't just pinpoint it, especially at nighttime.
One more. Did you feel like the combatants or both parties that the Lincoln County War was still going on, maybe in another, like some of the participants in the Lincoln County War were still there and refused to let go, refused to move on?
Oh, you mean like ghostly figures you talking about?
Like energy.
You feel maybe they're around. I didn't, know it or anything, but I know that the element is still there because there's people still generating money in that area, and there's still a stronghold political scene there, and it's just when I got caught up in that whole deal with the deputy, there was an eerie feeling that I got, and I knew that eventually I'd have to leave because it wasn't a good feeling. It was because these people were wanting to run me out of town because I was making money. End of the state was
she
making
thought,
money.
Yeah, she thought maybe that history was about to repeat itself in a bad way when you were dealing with that deputy.
Well, yeah, if I would have, you know, I mean, like I said, I wasn't there for trouble. I was there for peace, so, but I knew when to leave. Billy didn't know when to leave. But it was a different circumstance. Different circumstances, and things happened for the first time 130 or 40 years ago. You know, people were killed, and there was nobody around to really do anything about it. They just shoot people right in front of you. It didn't matter. You know, but we're, you know, these days, I mean, we're living in modern times, and, you know, things that happened back then wouldn't necessarily happen now. I mean, they may happen on another level, you know, because like I say, people die all the time, but it was a very weird experience. Unless, you know, like I say, unless you're really there to experience it, I mean, it was just, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but, you know. Hope I answered your question.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, and Billy, I've got, I think, a comment, and once I make this comment, I would like for you to comment on it. But I felt like about a month ago, I had a little bit of a spiritual connection with Billy the Kid. And he told me something, and I still can't disprove it. He said he never murdered anybody. He shot people in self-defense, but he never cold-blooded murdered anyone. Do you agree
no.
or not? And comment.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, I agree with you 100%. Yeah, it was a war. So it was all you know, self-defense. And when he was sentenced to hang, you know, I mean, he was going to hang. He was a scapegoat, and he knew that. But he had 2 weeks to sit around and think about, you know, when he was going, you know, if he didn't act, he was going to hang, die. They were going to kill him. So a week went by, and then the second week, you know, he figured if he was going to escape, you know, because he in the 20s they interviewed someone named John Meadows, and they asked him how the kid escaped, and Billy came by there and says, well, how'd you do it? And According to John Meadows, Billy told him that Olinger kept roughing him up with his shotgun because he wanted to shoot him right there. But after a week went by, he had like five more days where he's hanged. He had Bell take him out to the outhouse, and this is according to John Meadows. And so he went to the outhouse, and the kid told him that when he was coming back, there was a big, large gap between him and Bell as he went in the back door. He hopped up them steps as he went in the back of the courthouse and went to the left, and he did what he was known to do, was slip the cuffs. And he waited for Bell to come in there. Bell went up the steps thinking Billy was sitting down doing what he was supposed to be doing. But when Bell came up there, he hit him with the cuffs, surprised him. Now, when they did an autopsy on Bell's body, they found his skull was fractured, so he was hit with a blunt object. That's fact. So when he knocked Bell silly, he fought for Bell's gun, and he didn't want to kill Bell because he liked Bell and Bell liked Billy. But Bell tried to make a run for it and go down the steps, but he had to shoot Bell, and then bullets went through him and into the wall. Then he runs over because Olinger was across the street with the other prisoners eating, and Olinger heard the shots. So when Olinger comes running over there, confused, not knowing what's going on, Billy's waiting upstairs with Olinger's own shotgun, you know, waiting for him, and surprised him, and it just, you know, blew him all the pieces right there in the middle of Lincoln Street. And then that was the end of that deal. So that was a little extra. I'm sorry about that. I just want to tell you.
No, that was a superb answer. I had no idea until I kind of got this message from Beyond that everything he did was in self-defense or was part of his job. He never murdered anybody.
I always thought when I was growing up that Billy the Kid was this monster that killed 21 people. Just that was what I thought. He was a bloodthirsty animal. But it was nothing like that. And that's all because all the, you know, dime novels and the all the stuff that's been made up about him, and, you know, because he had the name Billy the Kid. So Billy the Kid takes on the Indians. Billy the Kid does this. Billy the Kid does that. Says, God, dog. But then when you find out the real story, it's really amazing. You know?
Well, he's like a real life Batman. You know, we all many people love Batman because they love the crime fighter, the good guy going against evil, and in general he wins.
Dr. John, when I was 5 years old, I liked to watch Batman.
Okay. Thank you, Amazing Velvet. We love you, Amazing Velvet. We love you so much. I'm not going to cut you off just because of that statement. But anyway, but the whole point is, Billy the Kid, if you look at him right, he's a modern-day American hero. And one thing that I want to do in any type of interaction that I have with folks is I want to let people know that Billy the Kid was a good guy. He was flat-out a good guy, and he was fighting against immense obstacles. Do you agree, Billy? He was fighting against, and the fact that he came out on top. Yeah, and
I mean,
it's amazing. So you were going to be on here for an hour. Hour's about up, and I wanted to say thank you so much for being our special guest on this great Christmas special. And I want you to go back and have a wonderful time in St. Augustine, and we'll talk tomorrow. And then what I'd like to keep our panelists here to do is I would like to ask each one of you, what's your wish for 2021? And then we'll all say thanks. Kumbaya. We love everybody, and we'll be back next week for the special New Year's show. And Velvet, since I hear you, so Billy, thanks. Get back to having fun with your buddies.
Yeah, thanks,
and
Billy.
I'm gonna go back in the same order. It's gonna be Velvet, Papa Stro, and Tony, and then me. And then we're gonna call our Christmas special 2020 one for the history books, especially the Dusty Rhodes spiritualism at the beginning. By the way, Ma and her kerchief and I and my caps. I mean, Papa Stro, I've got to ask you one question. I wonder what Bertha Faye looked like in a kerchief.
Oh, Lord.
I really don't.
Yeah. I love Papa Stro.
And she and Susan Green, I have the utmost respect for those two ladies. I think they were the two greatest lady wrestlers of all time. Without a doubt, they eclipsed Moolah, because Moolah couldn't wrestle. All she could do was hurt somebody. Any comments, Papa Stro?
She was
Stroh?
A straight shooter, buddy.
Yeah.
Well,
I just couldn't what you said earlier.
I didn't see that either.
I don't want a picture. Yeah, I don't want to see that in my brain. I'm like white out.
Right.
We absolutely
I'd be scarred for life, really.
Right.
I just love Bertha Faye. All right. Well, I tell you what. I see that Billy is still you're still with us.
Get
right?
a room.
Yeah. I just wanted to say thank you for having me on, John. And nice to talk with everybody. It's an honor meeting everybody. Everybody's special and. Hopefully we all can all get together and take a big trip to New Mexico and just go live it up.
Man. I'm in.
I'm going to have you up here in Myrtle
That's
Beach
wonderful.
Next year, and we're going to get everybody near Myrtle Beach, from Tony to we might even get Devin to fly in, and have Papa Stro and Velvet and everybody. We're going to have a blast
Absolutely.
When you come here.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
And Robin will be here, and we can have a séance.
That'd be cool.
Be
have fun.
Cool.
Just have fun.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. That's right.
I'll just be hanging out in New Mexico.
All right, Velvet, what do you want for 2021? What is your Christmas wish for next year?
For 2021, I want everybody to love one another. I want this COVID crap to go away. And I want us to get back to what we can consider normal at some point. And I think we need that. I think 2020 was a dumpster fire of a year, and we just can't get out of it fast enough. So that's what I want.
You are correct. You are absolutely correct. Billy the Kid, what do you want for 2021?
Oh, I just like to see us to find out and investigate who was all behind this COVID stuff, you know, whether it was China or whoever it was, and just, you know, solve that case, and just and maybe one day see my story told on the silver screen one day.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
that would be all of us sitting on the front row at the premiere, you know.
That's right, baby.
Yeah.
Well, I will go ahead and tell you a secret. I have had a conversation with a real movie producer. His name is, and Papa Stroh, I know you love this guy as much as I do. It's Daryl Rackley. Daryl produced, what was that great film that you were in of his?
Are you talking about the Rat Pack?
Yes, the Rack Pack.
Yeah, that was Steve Thomas Howell in it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a hell of a good film, and so Billy, I've got a meeting with Daryl Rackley, who is very interested in meeting you when you get over here. So he's a real movie producer, and he's going to be doing some great things. So there's your Christmas present from me. All right.
Well, that'd be cool.
Good.
That'd be cool.
I think it'll be great, Papa Stroh. What do you want for 2021?
You know,
Dorothy's husband.
Well, she's too young for that. Don't rush her. Good Lord. It's all I can do to keep up with her, man. She keeps me going, man. Unbelievable.
Right.
But I you know, after all we've been through, I just wish everyone a happy year. Just fill up full of happiness and joy and. You know, we could laugh a little, joke, get along, and just learn how to, you know, love one another and just make it a better world. You know, I mean, not everybody's going to get along, of course, but, you know, just kind of meet people halfway, you know what I mean? And the people that try to hurt others, you know, deal with them and put them in their place so we can go on and work together and you know, be in save humanity, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Exactly.
Thank you, Papa Stroh. Tony, what do you want for 2021?
The end of 2019 and a return to normalcy.
Amen.
I mean, if we can get those things, I think that would be quite a bit. You know, a lot of people suffering through this. I just like to see it over with. You know, this week, enough and enough.
Okay. Well, that's a wonderful one. I have two things I want. Number one, I want to go with all of you to the Kentucky Fried Chicken in Corbin, Kentucky. Because what is special about that, Tony Pelosi? What's special about the Kentucky Fried Chicken in Corbin, Kentucky?
It's the first Kentucky Fried Chicken ever.
Damn right it is.
Yeah.
And I want some of that.
As long as you're not radioactive, I'm in.
Right?
No, it's great. I want all my Scary Cast and Pop Culture Stars friends there. Because in case you haven't noticed, I co-host podcasts with the people that I care about the most, because I get to talk to you every week, and we stay in touch with each other, and I just want to have a 2021 that was as good to me as 2020, because I found out that I've got the best friends in the world, and they are my podcast co-hosts. So every one of you, Robin has a hall pass today. Devin had to go do something.
What a suck up.
And I know. I know. I am a suck up. But I'll tell you what. I really, really appreciate every one of you
up,
more
baby.
Than you'd ever know. And we got a lot of great things to do. I can't wait for Billy to get back to Tampa because we got a lot of plans to lay. This Billy the Kid thing,
yes, sir.
I think I was kind of drawn to it. Thank you, John LeMay. John LeMay will be on the first Monday of January as usual, and he'll be. And I told him we're going to talk about damn UFOs is what we're going to talk about because he lives in Roswell, and I want more stories about naked aliens running through a trailer park. That's the best story
I've ever had.
God,
naked.
Oh my God. Yeah. He said, well, they were naked. He said, they don't have clothes on. I said, okay, great. And then
after
the show was over, I started laughing, and I laughed for 10 minutes because I'm always supposed to call Papa Stroh right after the show, and then I call everybody around. But I started laughing after
can we play the gay
Christmas
song again so I can, like, mute the gay the naked aliens out of my brain? I want to hear the gay Christmas song again. I really enjoyed that.
Yes, that's what we're going to do next. All I got to say is I want to thank every one of you, Robin in absentia, Devin in absentia, for being such wonderful friends. And we're going to go out with be nice, Papa Stroh. I'm trying to be nice. Jesus. Let me find it. Because we're going to go out with Let the Yuletide Be Gay. So Merry Christmas to everybody. From Scarecast.
Oh, thank you.
And our great hosts, Robin McCray, Devin Tate, Papa Stroh, the Maestro of Wrestling, the Amazing Velvet, and Tony Pelosi, and even me, too. So here we are. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas,
everybody. Merry Christmas. I don't subscribe to religion. I don't have any kids. I don't see snow. As in the days of my childhood I did. And I don't want any presents, so I shouldn't need a tree. But I'll put one up anyway and deck the halls with holly. I'll bake some gingerbread men and then I'll eat them. I'll sing some Christmas carols and then repeat them. Here and there, with fairy lights.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Naked aliens, everyone.
No more Birth of Faye, not till next year. Bye.
Not ever.
You're terrible, Papa Stroh, but Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. You too.